Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where everything we do starts with an alignment to Australia's first accredited standard of conflict-free advice, which ensures we are truly focused on helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, how are you? It's Jim Stackpool from Certainty Advice Group with another podcast in our Certainty series. We're aiming to help as many Australians as possible get access to their valuable advice, particularly in these times when we need advice like never before, with the uncertainty around us and people needing that reassurance, which we'll talk about today. In fact, our Certainty Advisors like Annette Poulbrook I'm featuring today all over Australia follows Australians, our first standard of advice. It's been built upon being a comprehensive approach to supporting your financial lives, where the only remuneration is based upon the value and the impact that it's having on your life. And the standards are all double-checked, every single piece of advice, with the ACCC IP Australia standard, which we've tabled, first of its type, in fact. So whether you're dealing with a firm like Annette's in Warners Bay up on Lake Macquarie, or you're dealing with a firm from Wollongong, or you're dealing with a firm from Warnervale, it doesn't matter. It'll be similar quality of advice. But today, the topic is 3 years on. The rise and fall of advice since the Royal Commission, nearly 3 years since the announcement of that Royal Commission into banking and financial services. But interestingly, way back in 2012, there was a body called the Accounting Professional and Ethical Standards Board, the APESB. It actually passed the standard back in 2012 for every practicing accountant in Australia. Giving financial advice. So any practicing accountant in Australia giving financial advice back in 2012 would have to adhere from a standard, which was going to be initiated from 2016, where no product fees would be allowed to be collected from 2016 if you were a practicing accountant delivering financial planning as well as accounting advice. So they gave accountants 4 years' notice to change their business models. But unfortunately, the standard never saw daylight because it was watered down and made optional within 3 months of its launch due to the pressure from an incumbent large group, accounting, financial planning groups, etc., who complained their livelihoods would be decimated. Interesting when you fast forward to the Royal Commission, because unfortunately considering accountants could have had a chance to present an alternative approach in that 2018-19 Royal Commission, where Justice Hayne slammed the industry, in fact, for the greed looking at its own interests over the people they're meant to be serving. So now, 3 years on since the announcement of a Banking Royal Commission, you know, what paths are we on? And particularly excited to have Annette Poulbrook, our Principal of FinBiz Advisors, on the shores of Lake Macquarie and Warners Bay, which is just a bit little south of Newcastle in New South Wales, who is a trained accountant, who also does financial advice, financial planning. And in some ways, a lot of ways, in fact, Annette and her team of advisors represent this future breed of advisor who serves all the financial needs for their busy SME clients and families and individuals with a speciality in hospitality, which is, in fact, itself become under considerable strain since COVID-19. And you'll hear how Annette brings this big picture view, accountability and planning to all her clients. Key things for listening, though, is that and that really captures nicely this value of assurance and reassurance versus specific advice, particularly in this COVID era, and how the reasons why Annette thinks that the pace of reform for advice is in fact too slow. But I did start by asking Annette, what now is the value and the benefit for Australians 3 years on from the Royal Commission?
I think probably the biggest benefit is that people just have a greater awareness now of what's out there in the financial advice world. And they're probably questioning more and more what sort of advice they're receiving. I guess they understand too that there has been conflicts of interest in the past where people, advisors have given advice that may not necessarily be in the best interest of them. And I think they're now questioning that and looking at, well, what sort of advice am I getting? Is it independent? Is it free from conflict? Is it in my best interest? So I think that's probably one of the big benefits I see coming out of the Royal Commission.
And are you seeing different questions being asked in meetings now when you come across new clients or even in amongst your network and alliances?
I think people are more aware of fees now. That's been highly publicised since the Royal Commission, where the fees are coming from, who they're directed to, what the quantum is. I think there's just more questioning around the fees. Who pays you, and that's never been an issue from my perspective because I'm always fee for service and completely independent in the advice that I provide. But the new people that are coming through the door are probably more aware of fees and knowing where they come from more than ever.
Okay, so there's an increased awareness. And do you think they're seeing benefits from that increased awareness? Are they not proceeding with people who they can't answer those questions to their satisfaction? Are you getting those sort of stories, or simply the increased awareness is a big enough benefit in itself?
I think from my perspective, it's just the increased awareness. And I think for them to be able to make that informed decision that they've got complete transparency when it comes to the fees and when it comes to the advice, I think that's what's winning people across from what they have received in the past.
And longer term, do you see these benefits expanding and clients then getting access to more and more valuable advice? Or do you think we are sort of, this is how it is, and the banks will come back with new propositions once they get rid of their current advisory distribution forces? The industry super funds will come in with new propositions and continue to confuse clients? Or do you think this is now the new norm? They will always have this awareness, who's paying me, how conflicted or clear or in my best interest is this advice?
I think it's really interesting times at the moment. I think like the banks and the super funds, they'll come up with new products and new ways to promote it, new ways to market it. But at the end of the day, I still think that the public out there will be a little bit suspicious of that given what's been transpiring the last few years. I think that clients are really looking for that transparency. It's a really trusted relationship that you have with your advisor. And once that trust is broken, and the banks and the big institutions have really broken that trust, they're looking for that trusted relationship and the advisor who is completely transparent and completely independent. So no matter what the banks or the super funds do in the future, no matter how they package it or promote it, I still think there's going to be that underlying scepticism out there in with people looking for really a good advice that fits their needs and their circumstances.
So it seems the industry funds just going to that tack for a sec, Annette. And I'm not too sure how much you hear or see all your clients there at FinBiz Advisors come in with some industry fund experience or background themselves, but they seem to have won the battle against the banks in terms of accumulating funds and being seen as the last person standing as the banks have exited advice. But what you're suggesting there is that even though they may have won that space in terms of the thinking of will it be industry versus retail funds, they may lose the ongoing war about earning the trust when it comes to advice as compared to an accumulating assets. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a level in the market where people who can't afford to pay advice or people who don't have the need for advice, there's going to be that level out there where the super funds, the industry funds, the big players, they're always going to have that level of the market. But it's people who have a little bit more means and people who are wanting to do a little bit more and achieve more in their life and their financial security. They're the ones that are going to be searching for more than what the big retail funds or industry funds or big players can offer. They're the ones that are going to be looking for the relationship rather than the standard robo-advice or whatever's going to come out of this. I think it's the relationship, the service offering, the trust, and that ongoing advice for not only them but for next generation that's going to be important for them. It's the whole, life planning for them and the estate planning and just knowing who they are, what their family is. I think that's where we're going to win as advisors, as opposed to what the industry funds and big corps can offer.
Okay, so the winners will be those that can broaden the proposition, have a more comprehensive conversation with their clients, regardless of if any product is needed or not. And the losers, in some so to speak, from an advice perspective, will be those that can't have those conversations, but can have good product-based conversation. Are there any other specific losers as a consequence of the last 3 years since the Royal Commission?
I think probably the only losers really out of it are the big corporations that really have lost the level of trust out there with the public. They've seen to be offering, you know, fees for no service. They've seen to be offering conflicted advice. They've completely broken the trust that they have out there with the public. So I think they're the big losers in this.
So you don't think Australians have a short memory and then they'll come back with glitzier and smarter and sexier apps on our phones to which you can still push a NAB or a Westpac or ANZ or a Commonwealth Bank product and call that advice? You don't, or you think Australians once bitten, Australians won't take that on in the years to come, in your opinion?
I think there'll be a certain section of the market that will take that on, Jim, absolutely. There'll be people out there that don't understand what quality advice is, and there's people out there that don't need that level of advice too. So it's probably a market where it will suit those people to a degree. But there's the next level in the market who are looking for something more. So, yeah, there will be some winners and losers out of it. But some people have got short memories and some people will be taken by the glitzy apps on the phones and robo-advice. but it's not suited for everyone, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And when you see some people do need that relationship, that complexity, the confirmation, am I on the right path? Am I making the right decisions as they, whether it's approaching their own working lives, they're looking after their children, their parents, aging parents, to, or if they're in their own small business. What percentage do you think of Australians in the future will be gradually morphing towards, I want to have an ongoing relationship with someone that continually just confirms they're the best steps you should be taking, or that's the best decision you should be making in your financial life when you come to those transition points in life?
In an ideal world, Jim, I would like to think that 100% of the population would be undertaking that relationship with their advisor. But realistically, it's not going to be at that level because not everyone will be able to afford that sort of advice. But I'd like to think more people rather than not would be taking that level of relationship advice with their financial advisors.
Have you been surprised or enlightened or what of the progress that's been made over the last 3 years since the Royal Commission was announced?
I think it's been incredibly slow, the progress, to be honest. You look at things like FESIA and the ethics that's out there in relation to financial advisors having to undertake further study. That's been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. If the profession was serious about it, they'd just say, okay, you've got to have it done by this time, otherwise you're out. You know, you've got to be serious about things like this. I think other things that surprised me too, and my background has always been in accounting and moving across to financial advice, I was really surprised about the level of commissions. Well, maintaining commissions on insurance product, you either have commissions or you don't have commissions. Take it off 100% or leave it on. So,
and same for mortgage brokering?
Absolutely, absolutely. How can you be free from conflict when you've still got commission-based product?
And move. What's the effect of COVID on all this development that's occurring in the path since the Royal Commission, and also now how people's, in some ways, lives need advice more than ever before? What are you seeing amongst your client base has been the significant effect of COVID-19?
I think at the moment it's just a level of uncertainty. People are putting off making decisions because they just don't know what the future holds. They're wanting advice and they're wanting to have, I guess, probably not advice so much as discussion and reassurance. At the moment, it's really hard to know what to advise clients because we are in such an uncertain world, and we don't know what's going to happen once JobKeeper stops, and we don't know what's going to happen if there's another wave that comes through. So rather than advice, it's more about that reassurance and just knowing that we're here for them and having that discussion to reassure them that, yes, we're here holding their hand, and we'll let them know if there's things that we need to put in place to address situations as they arise. So rather than advice, it's more that relationship and that reassurance for them.
So you raise a really important point there. You said a few times, it's not advice, it's reassurance. In terms of it doesn't have to be path A or path B. It's simply just saying for everything, and am I right here by saying that reassurance is where you are right now and the decisions you've made right now, you're in the best possible. So, in fact, you're probably not doing anything other than simply saying, for everything we know and objectively look where you are and your history and your knowledge and where you want to go, you're doing the right thing right today. Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. I think I've never taken for granted the relationship that I have with my clients. I feel very privileged to be able to advise clients, and I know that they trust me implicitly in my relationship with them. So I never take that for granted, and it's more or less at this time where it is so uncertain, it's having that discussion and making sure that the clients know that we're here, we're thinking about what their position is. We do give them advice if there's things that need to be done, but it's just more or less for them to know that we are here and supporting them in whatever they do in their financial lives.
Because I'm sure there's many advisors listening to this and clients who have advisors already that would say, yeah, my advisor does that, she does that, or he does that for me, gives me that reassurance. But unfortunately, the rails that they run their businesses on and their livelihood is then dependent upon selling hours for that piece of advice or selling products or keeping products in place.
Mm.
How are those accountants and financial planners going to move with the times to a model like yours where it's simply you're pricing the relationship each year on the impact you're having or the value you're delivering as compared to, don't care how many hours we work or how much product they have?
Mm. Oh, I don't know how they're going to survive. Do you not just think our approach to business and our approach to advice with clients, to me, it's the only way that you can run a business now. I just don't understand how the advice that you give can be tied to funds under management or tied to a product that you place. There's no relationship between the two. It really astounds me.
Yeah, it is for a whole host of reasons. I'm sure they're aware that it's the heritage of the industry which came from a product-based environment, but they've tied their livelihood to it as compared to what FinBiz advisors are tying it to, simply the value or the impact you're having in the clients' lives, regardless of this product.
I'm sure there's a lot of advisors out there that are very scared about it.
Mm.
very scared about their income being cut because the value of clients' investments are falling with the market. I'm sure there's a lot of advisors out there who are very scared at the moment. But for them, they need to take control of their lives as well, not just their clients.
And so on that line, then, what has to continue? What is the main momentum that the Royal Commission needs to now continue to ensure that more and more Australians come up to that 50% figure that you were quoting before, that you hope to think over half of them would get access to someone like FinBiz Advisors? What is it? Is it a structural issue? Is it mentality? Is it just the imposing of the FASEA guidelines? Is it all the above? Is there any one thing you think anyone listening to this should be aware of? This still needs to occur to get more and more Australians getting access to people like yourself.
Yeah, I'd like to see some fundamental change in the legislation, to be honest. And again, having come from outside the industry only in the last few years, to see the legislation, to see what you have to actually cover off on to provide advice. There is so much covering your own backside or covering your licence provider's backside rather than actually providing the advice. To produce a statement of advice which a client doesn't read and all the documentation associated with it, that's not what a client needs. But there's a certain level of cost in actually providing that. So to cut that level of red tape and that level of compliance, that level of legislation that you have to abide by, I think that's what needs to happen so that advice becomes more accessible and more affordable to the general populace.
Yeah, because, again, the product heritage means that those rules and regulations have been written for the lowest common denominator in terms of delivering of a product.
Exactly.
As compared to people like yourself who are giving advice and getting paid whether there's product attached or not. But that's a world I think compliance does not understand. It has become a bit of an industry in its own right since FASEA in the industry.
Absolutely.
So there you have Annette Pulbrook from FinBiz Advisors there in Warners Bay. I took quite a bit from what Annette shared with us all. And really the key thing, I think, was this importance of having a balanced relationship with advisors that can and do provide not just advice but assurance. And so with the relationships that Annette and her team are setting up, the missing element from more product-based approaches and or even hourly rate-based approaches between advisors and clients is that Annette provides this unique ability to provide this objective knowledge of all the considerations the client might be facing, their habits, their plans, their options, their products, their strategy, etc., which a product-based model or an hourly-based model might not be able to fit and have that same impact or value for as it is within FinBiz Advisors. Also another takeout is how will these traditional firms, and Ed asked the question, how will traditional firms, advisory firms survive when their livelihoods, charges based upon how much assets are in place or hours worked, in fact is out of balance to the value or impact of the clients that they're looking after, which is for so many years the rails on which most professional firms have run has been based on hourly rates or been based on products under management. But what the clients are seeking is more impact or value for them in their lives, not simply hours or products. It also showed that in Annette's conversation that industry still has far too many layers of compliance. In some ways, it was a result of the Royal Commission, which is in fact designed to protect the incumbent product-based advice models. And over time, it will have to be watered out. But there you have it, Annette Pulbrook from FinBiz Advisors in Warners Bay, representing, I think, the new breed of advisors with origins from accounting and financial planning, but not resembling either because they're not tax-driven nor are they product-based. It's a business helping clients achieve the impact and value sought, navigating through all the complexities, and particularly for Annette and her team's clients in retail hospitality. And that's the way it should be. So I'd love to get your feedback. And never, ever please mistake product or effort for what is valuable and has impact for you in your financial life. Cheers and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpool. To access the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to certaintyadvicegroup.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. certaintyadvicegroup.com.